If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Let's read a few verses of Scripture here. I'll begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." We're going to be in chapter 1 this morning and bring out a message that the Lord has put in my heart, two little words that I found in verse number 8, "yet believing." That makes all the difference in the world. The Bible uses the word here, manifold temptations. In this context, it's not speaking of the solicitation to do evil, but it's talking about the trials of life. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And so, what makes the difference in the middle of the trial? That's the believing. Yet believing, that's where we can rejoice, amen, even in the midst of it all. You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit that makes the Word of God real to us. And Lord, illuminates our hearts and in our minds. And I pray, God, that you would help us today as we examine your Word, Lord, to be a blessing to these precious people that have gathered at Bible Way this day. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd give us unction from on high. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I was praying, I asked the Lord to illuminate our minds, and it reminded me, I think it might have been Brother John told me one time about a fellow that was praying for the preacher, and he said, "Lord, illuminate his mind." So please don't pray that prayer for me this morning. Amen. I ain't got much room to spare there. Amen. But I will say this. I've been listening to a little bit about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I'm convinced some minds have been illuminated. Say amen. How you like that? Amen. Well, you say, "Preacher, you'll get in trouble." I stay that way. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the wisdom that God has given us to trust Him, amen, in these days. Let me give you some things this morning that I hope and pray will be a blessing. We're going to take these, not in the chronological order in the chapter, but rather in the order that I believe these things happen in a person's life. And yet believing. How did that all start? Well, I believe it starts with a revelation. If you look at verse number 9, the Bible said, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." And it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Back there in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to Calvary. They were looking forward to the Lamb that would come one day and die on an old rugged cross and take away the sin of the world. Watch this now. In verse number 11, it says, "Searching what, or what manner of time, of the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify." Watch that now. That's talking about Old Testament, but when it's talking about the Spirit, it still said the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. You say, why is that important? Because in a lot of people's minds, Jesus don't get here till Matthew. Say amen. He was already here, honey. Amen. He just became a man in Matthew Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. The Spirit of Christ did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Read the Psalms. Read the Gospel of Isaiah. Amen. And he's going to tell you about this Jesus that's coming to suffer and die, and the glory that should follow. Look at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed. It starts with a revelation. Beloved, no one has ever gotten saved until God revealed some things to them. Number one, God revealed to them their condition. And then God revealed to them the solution. Amen. The answer for their condition. He reveals their lost condition, and then he reveals a Savior that can do something about that lost condition. The Bible said, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Think about that this morning. You and I have experienced a revelation from God. You and I that are saved. God revealed to us our sin. God revealed to us our Savior. God revealed to us, beloved, that we must be born again. And, beloved, the Bible said those are things that you and I see here today and we understand and enjoy because God revealed it to us that the angels desire to look into. That's why when the song of the redeemed is sung in the Revelation, the angels will have to step back, thank God, because they are listening still, desiring to look into what you and I know about salvation by grace through faith, according to the Word of God. The Bible said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Brother Brian brought out this morning how that when we look at what's going on in the world, we must remember that at one time we were blind. At one time we were a part of that mess. Amen. At one time we didn't understand. But I say to you this morning, the first step that took place in my life is when God revealed himself to me. When God revealed my sin to me and revealed himself to me. And beloved, thank God for that revelation that took place. How did it take place, preacher? By the preaching of the cross. By the preaching of this old Bible. Amen. I thank God every day for men that have stood down through my life and didn't tell me what I wanted to hear and didn't want to tickle my ears, but beloved, gave me the Word of God just like it is and delivered it to me just like I was. That's how Jesus was revealed to me and my need of Him. It starts with a revelation. Think about that. Let me give you this morning. When God reveals Himself, that can lead to redemption. Can I say this to you this morning? Jesus has revealed himself to a whole lot of people that have not been redeemed. In other words, beloved, just because you know the truth does not mean you have received the truth. Is everybody listening to me? You know what I believe? Listen to me. You know what I believe? I believe they ought to make everybody in Washington, D.C., that's talking about this third trimester. Listen, you can talk about whatever you want to, but let's just go back that far. Now they're raising a little bit of Cain because they're trying to kill the baby now after it's out of the mother's womb. And then there was an argument over whether you can kill it when it's partially out of the mother's womb. But I tell you what I believe they ought to do. I believe they ought to make everybody that votes put their ear, lay their ear on a pregnant woman's belly, and listen to what's going on the inside. I believe they ought to make them go in a room and watch an ultrasound and see what's going on the inside. I can remember this, Miss Eve, like it was yesterday.
I don't know which one it was, Charity, or was it Charity? When Charity was born, the first two children, I wasn't saved. And to tell you the truth, I was scared to go back there where a baby was being born. Amen. I thought it was easier just to stand out in the hall and be cool. Amen. Wait on, see what kind of cigar you needed to buy. But I'm telling you, when God saved me, I wanted to go back there with my wife. That baby came out of there, and every time I would speak a word, Brother Ralph, that baby, Charity, would turn her head, and that nurse said, she knows his voice. And my wife looked at that nurse and said, she ought to. She's been listening to him preach for 9 months. Amen. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, I've not lost my mind. God revealed the truth unto me. That's why we'll stand on the Word of God. Revelation can lead to redemption. It can lead to redemption. I can remember my father, his knuckles turning white as he held on to the pew and walked out the door that Sunday night. I can remember it well. God was dealing with his heart. My father was rebelling against God. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can fight against God if you want to, but you're fighting a losing battle. And God spoke to my daddy's heart, revealed himself. He said, preacher, why didn't redemption take place that night? I'll tell you why. Because my dad turned his back. My dad walked out the door. The next morning, we were 2.5 stories in the air on a frosty roof. Had no business whatsoever being up there. Wax paper was on the plywood. That's what had to be placed underneath a standing seam roof. That's an old-time copper roof that we were forming and putting on that house. My father spit these words out. He said, son, we need to be careful or one of us will fall till this frost gets off this roof. He said, preacher, you shouldn't have been up there. Well, let me just say this to you. God knows how Dad's family and how my family both were struggling at that time. We thought we had to work every minute that we could to put groceries on the table. Amen? We weren't those that went around with a handout wanting the government to do something for us when we could do something for ourselves. Daddy said that, and he no sooner spit it out. I had my back turned to him, and I heard a big pfft, and that was my dad's backside that hit the plywood. And when I turned, Brother John, he was going out over the gutter. The gutter wasn't on it, and he fell 2.5 stories. It's the grace of God I didn't fall. There was a man on the bottom floor. And I went over the edge of the roof, through a window, the floors were not decked, and down through the trusses, and I was standing at my daddy before that man could get to my daddy. I don't know how I didn't fall. He said, preacher, what's this got to do with anything? I said, revelation can lead to redemption. Daddy turned his back on that Sunday night, and the preacher came to see Daddy on Monday afternoon in the hospital, and Daddy looked up at the preacher. He said, either a man can look up when God's a-dealing with him, or God can put him in a place that the only way to look is up. My father will tell you today, beloved, listen, he don't hold it against God. God was doing his part that Sunday night, but Dad was rejecting what God was trying to do in his life. My daddy's in heaven today. I guarantee you he's a glory and in a Lord that wouldn't leave him alone. Amen. Laying there with his back broke and his shoulder broke and 3 ribs broke. He came to the realization that it's better to go with God than it is to go against him. Brother Houston, I can say this without compromise, without fear, without favor. I believe my daddy was one of the best friends a preacher ever had. I'm telling you, beloved, when nobody else in the church knew it, he was mowing the church grass. He was always doing something to help the church and to help the man of God along the way. Amen. You say, why? Because revelation eventually led to redemption. You say, preacher, where do you see redemption in the chapter? I'm so glad you asked me. Look here. Look at it with me. In verse number 18, the Bible said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed. I thought about this morning when I read the verse, Brother Ralph, the song that says redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Redeemed. What a blessing it is to be redeemed. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I say, beloved, listen, redeem, a redemption. It's the action of saving or being saved from sin, from error, from evil. I'm looking at a generation today, beloved, listen, you can talk about redemption, and they'll say, what do you mean, sin? What do you mean, saved from what? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I'll tell you what, saved from our sin. That's what God saves us from and redeems us from. Redemption is by the blood. Think about this definition, the act of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. The second part of that definition is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for a payment or clearing a debt. That's a good definition. You say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. I had a debt. You had a debt that we could not pay. Jesus Christ went to Calvary, stretched out His arms and died, and purchased you and I, a beloved that are believers this morning, and saved our never dying soul. He redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. Redemption is by the blood. But I want to give you this. Redemption is also by the book. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 23. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Beloved, I want to say this morning. This scripture right here is teaching us two things that we need to remember. Number one, faith is incorruptible. Number two, the flesh is corruptible. Beloved, look what the Bible said in verse number 24. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. This revelation can lead to redemption. Redemption is by the blood. Redemption is by the book. But redemption also is reflected in the brethren. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse number 22 with me, please. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. The Bible said this, how can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? I'll tell you, beloved, I believe when an individual is redeemed, born again, they love the church. They love God's people. I believe that with all of my heart. The Bible uses the word unfeigned. And that's kind of a word. I just wanted to look it up and just get an accurate definition of what it means. It means sincerely. And it means without hypocrisy. I'll tell you something that will tear church all to pieces quicker than anything I know of in the world. And that's having the love and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. In other words, we pick and we choose. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. The love that God puts in a man's heart causes him to love everyone. It'll cause him even to love his enemy. Amen. It'll cause him to pray for those that persecute him. I'm telling you, beloved, the love of Christ, it'll cause you to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Beloved, I thank God. I thank God that He put a love in my heart for the brethren. I thank God that it's not a one-way street. I thank God for the people that love me, that love my family. I told Sister Margaret, she was in tears yesterday at the hospital. I said, Sister Margaret, her daughter was there. She's got two precious daughters. They both care deeply about her. I said, aren't you glad you don't have to go through this alone? And she said, oh, yes, preacher. I said, you know, when God put it in my heart, I'll never forget it. I don't know what I'll have to go through before I leave this world. Oh, listen, Brother Ralph, when the squire sang the song alone at Calvary, I'm telling you, he had to be alone so that I would never have to be alone. You say, preacher, you're talking about people? Yes, I don't believe I'll be alone. But I tell you what, I'm talking about the presence of a Savior that said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going with you all the way, even to the end of the world. What a blessing that is. Revelation can lead to redemption. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Redemption can lead to something else. It will lead to something else. It will lead to a realization. You're not going to be redeemed very long, saved very long, until something's going to happen either in your own life or in the life of someone you love. I mean, this is kind of a silly illustration, I guess. But Sawyer and Olivia, they spent the night with Miss Eve and I on Friday night. Charity was going to work in Kingsport, and they spent the night. And I guess about 11 o'clock, I heard Miss Eve holler, I need some help. And Olivia had gotten sick at her stomach. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of all of that, but she had gotten sick. Her brother was in the crib right next to her, and he didn't escape. I mean, it just, not in the same crib. Olivia was in the bed, and it went everywhere. She got sick. But I can remember this. I can remember getting her up in my arms. He said, preacher, wasn't you afraid of getting sick? No. I remember covering her up. And I remember trying my best to comfort her. And I said, baby, if you need to get sick again, if you feel it coming on, tell Papa. And she did get sick two more times that night. But you say, preacher, I don't know why you mentioned that. Well, that might be just a silly little illustration. But Brother Gary, if what was in my heart for that little girl is any comparison to what's in our Heavenly Father's heart, you just think about that for a minute. Thank God her sickness was temporary. Thank God it was temporal. We don't even think now that she had a bug. We think it was something she ate that didn't agree with her. Whatever. I just know this. I'd rather be sick than my little baby to be sick. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? There's a realization that's going to come in the lives of those that are redeemed. Watch what the Bible said. The Bible said here, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. We're going to see that, according to verse number 1, we're strangers. When you get redeemed, this world stops feeling like your home. And you're going to go through trials, and you're going to go through tribulations. You think about this. When you're young, it's your children. You're trying to raise your children, and you're trying to work. You get a little bit older, and now it's your mommy and your daddy that's getting sick. Help me. I'm just telling you, Job knew what he was talking about when he said, man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. There's trouble everywhere. Trials everywhere. You say, preacher, what makes the difference? Two words. Yet believing. Yet believing. And though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not going to be saved long till you're going to realize that salvation, redemption by the blood of Jesus, does not exempt us from the trials that we're going to go through in this world that we live in. And the Word of God said here, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Listen, I read to you a while ago that the flesh is like the grass and like the flower that fades away. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Listen to me carefully. Shout right here. The season is short. I'm going home one day after a while. The stranger is going to, the pilgrim is going to wave goodbye to this world. And I'm going home. It doesn't matter if I'm 76 like my dad was, or if I'm in my 60s like some of my uncles were. Doesn't matter. The day's coming, beloved, when the stranger and the pilgrim is going home. The season, it's short. It's a short season down here. Redemption will turn into a realization. You're going to realize you're a stranger. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them, they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm going to tell you something right now. The worst thing a child of God can ever do is drive his stakes too deep in this world. Better not drive them too deep. Better not drive them too deep. The day may come soon when we're going to pull up and go home. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Wouldn't it have been nice? Listen to me a minute. Wouldn't it have been nice if we could have gotten saved? In 1987, I was saved by the grace of God. Wouldn't it have been nice if I could have left that altar and never had to deal with another fleshly lust? Wouldn't that have been nice? Wouldn't it have been nice if I could have left that altar and never had another sick day in my life, or never come in contact with a family member that was sick or leaving this world? I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen, I'm telling you, God is telling us there's a reason for this season. He's developing us. He's making us more every day like His precious Son. And one day we're going to step off on heaven's bright shore and we're going to be just like Jesus. He knows what He's doing. You say, preach, I don't know where you got that three little words, if need be. You're in manifold temptations. The Bible said heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you thought about this in the midst of a trial? It's more precious than gold. Is that what the book said? Is that what the book said? The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Beloved, every one of us are human. And every one of us, you know, once in a while, I heard just the other day a tractor and trailer overturned up here on 11W. I was all the way down in Hawkins County. A man that had come in from Glade Spring, Virginia, told me about it. He was diverting traffic with the people that he worked around the wreck. How many would like to be diverted around all the wrecks in life, around all the trials, around all the troubles? But that's not what the book teaches. God didn't say, I'm going to see you around it. Sometimes He does. I think one of the things going to make heaven heaven is there we're going to know what all He took us around. But I tell you what He did say, He's going to take us through it, Brother Gale. He's going to take us through it. He's not going to leave us. He's going to take us through it. Redemption will lead to a realization that we're strangers, a realization of the season that we're living in, and then a realization of the Savior whom, having not seen, you love. How many could say honestly with me, seemingly, the sweetest place you'll ever meet Him is in the valley. The sweetest place you'll ever meet Him is in the trial. The sweetest place you'll ever learn more about Him is in that trial that's more precious than gold. There's a realization of the Savior whom, having not seen, you love. How many loves Him this morning? In whom, though now you see Him not. Brother Brian, you mentioned that. You say we get to church, get together every Sunday. Hear a man preach about a man we ain't never seen. And Brother Brian made it clear. He's talking about physically we haven't seen him. But I'm going to tell you what, I've got some eyes that have. I've got some eyes, Brother Ralph, when the choir was singing All Alone, I just looked up at the wall and pictured my Savior crying out with that voice. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hanging there all alone so I would never have to be alone in this world. What a blessing. Never be alone in eternity because he was willing to be alone in time. Yet believe him. Redemption will lead to a realization, and let me give you this, and I'm done. A realization will lead to a reservation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look with me, if you will, at verse number 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope. That means a living hope. Our hope is not dead. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, there's a big debate going on. You may not know about it. It's called an inheritance tax. How many knows that you're not going to have a hamburger without a farmer? How many knows you're not going to have lettuce for your salad without a farmer? You're not going to have green beans without a farmer? Some of them burgers, you're not going to have them without soybeans. Somebody help me. Amen. Without a farmer. And the farms, especially in America, are generally just passed down from generation to generation. And our government, many in our government, think that every time it's passed down, somebody ought to have to pay this huge inheritance tax. Can I tell you something? I have an inheritance. I'm not going to have to worry about paying the tax on it. I'm not going to have to worry about moths getting in there and eating it up. I'm not going to have to worry about a thief coming in there and stealing it. I have an inheritance this morning reserved in heaven. Why? Because of the redemption that we have through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. The realization will lead to a reservation. It's reserved, undefiled. It fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Several things are going to happen when Jesus comes. There's going to be a resurrection, number one. But there's going to be a rejoicing. Oh, my, my, my. What rejoicing there will be on that day. There are people in this room, there are people that I will see today who are struggling with their health, struggling with pain, struggling with conditions. And you can't tell me it ain't going to be a blessed day when we realize what happened. What happened? I don't hurt anymore. I get them kids, Brother Larry, in my lap, and they want to turn backflips out of my lap into the living room floor. And I sit there and think, dear Lord, to be that flexible again. Their little necks bend in such a way that it sometimes scares me. They get up and all they say is, Papa, do it again. Do it again. And if I was to roll out of that chair like that, I would be broken in at least 3 pieces when I hit the floor. But Lance, we're going to have a body where we can do it again. I used to love to throw a baseball, man. I just loved it. Chance would have liked to hit me because all I had was a fastball, brother. I didn't have a curveball. You tell him I said that, will you? Amen. But I will say this. My philosophy in Little League is they can't hit what they can't see. Just throw it as hard as you can throw it. They swing at it in the dirt. They swing at it over their head. They swing at it sometimes behind their back. Just haul off and throw it. Catcher had a little sponge that he put inside of his mitt. I loved it. And now my shoulder, when I go like this, it feels like it has marbles rolling around inside. And Jesus said, marble not. How many of y'all got a reservation? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. There's a resurrection. There's a rejoicing. But I'll say this morning in closing. There's a reward. He said, preacher, I just don't know if I can stand it or not. You just hang in there. There's going to be a reward for the people of God. You keep letting your light shine. Keep loving your family. Keep looking for somebody that's down and try to help them up. You keep loving the brethren. One of the reasons God said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together is because he knew there'd be Sundays, pastor would be down, somebody could help him a little. There'd be other Sundays you'd be down and somebody could help you a little. But if the devil could just back us all up in our own little corner, then we wouldn't get the help that God wants to give us. How many believes God uses people to help? He does. I ain't nobody. But when you walk in a hospital room and somebody weeps, just so glad to see you. Say amen. I had someone tell me a little while back that they were in the hospital for 3 or 4 months. I didn't even know them at the time. And a friend come by and another friend come by, but this man said, preacher, a minister, a preacher never did come by. Sometimes I believe God wants us just to settle down. I try to make this prayer part of my prayer life often. God, make me a blessing to somebody. If I can't do nothing else, if I could be a blessing to somebody. You say, preacher, how's that happen? Yet believing. You know what I have to believe? That in the midst of the trial, God is still at work. God has a plan. He's working it out. Working it out in my life. He's working it out in your life. Brother Allen's laying over in the ICU at the VA. They said his heart's 25% working. He's got pneumonia. Those issues are stacked up pretty hard against him. We had a wonderful birthday party for Brother Allen over here not too long ago. Man, it was wonderful. And God may raise Brother Allen up. We don't know that. But the truth is, one day all of us are going home. I'll tell you one thing I know about Brother Allen Elkins. He's a stranger down here. This world ain't his home. It ain't about the stuff to Brother Allen. It's about the Savior. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.